Well, welcome back to the series, Life is Good. My prayer is that you know that when you follow the Lord, even if everything's crazy, that your life can be good because you're trusting Him. You know, last week we laid the foundation of why we can say life is good, and it's because God is good. It's because He has a heart for us. And even though we live in a broken world that often invades our space, we can know that life is good because God is. And so this week, I want to start with talking about why life can be good relationally. Because relationships were God's idea. And the fact of the matter is that the quality of your life will be determined by the quality of your relationships. So my heart for you is that you have healthy, whole relationships. And so we're going to today look at the book of Genesis as we're kind of going through the book of, through this series, we'll go through Genesis through Joshua, painting with a really big brush, on why life is good spiritually, relationally, emotionally, physically, financially, and then continually. So this week we're looking at relationally. How can life be good relationally? And so let's look at what I believe is a foundation stone for us understanding God's heart for relationship. And here it is. It's for us to be in relationship with Him. That's first and foremost. But I believe as we look at Genesis chapter 12, and the story of the father of our faith, Abraham, and God's move on his heart, I think we see some basic principles that we can distill out of Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 15, the story of Abraham. And listen, if you don't know that story, I'm always going to push you back to the Bible. Get into Scripture, get into the Word, find out who God is, what He's called you to. And let me tell you, reading through the Bible is a great way for you to grow in your faith and have an understanding of who God is, because the Bible simply reveals the nature and the character of God, particularly in the Old Testament. So here we are in Genesis chapter 12 with God's first interaction with the father of our faith and the faith of Judaism, Abraham. And so here it is, Genesis 12. The Lord said to Abram, I'm just going to stop there because I want you to know that God speaks to people. He doesn't speak just to people in the Bible. He speaks to you and to me. Are we listening? So here it is. It says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I'll show you. I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'm going to make you famous. You'll be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. I mean, that sounds amazing, doesn't it? It sounds awesome. God's first interaction with Abram is saying, hey, I'm going to bless you if you trust me and you follow me. And I firmly believe that this is true for you and for me. But the blessings in our life don't always look like we might think they will look, because the very first thing that God speaks to Abram, He says, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I'll show you, that Abram had no idea where it was. So here's just three basic, simple, biblical principles that I want you to get in understanding how life can be good relationally. It's understanding the heart, the character of God, and how He operates, and applying those principles. Here's the first principle that I want you to get, that God's purpose for your relationships is not to be comfortable. God's not primarily concerned with your comfort. Here's what He's concerned with. He's concerned with you trusting Him. That's called faith. And you walking out what He's whispered to you. This is why it says, leave your native country. That's hard, because God will often call us out of what's familiar. He'll call us away from our native country, our relatives, our father's family. Like, He's calling us to Him. God's principle in relationships and for them to be good is for us to recognize that He's not primarily concerned with us being comfortable. In fact, Abram, he hears all of this, like leave your native country, leave your relatives, leave your father's family, follow me. And we look and we see what Abram does. It says, so Abram departed as the Lord had instructed. The foundation stone of every great relationship begins with your relationship with the Lord. Because when you are following Him, it doesn't mean that everything is easy and perfect, but it does mean that through all of it, you can trust Him, because He's leading you to a place that He's promised you that is a good place. Now, here's just a spoiler alert. Abram actually never lived in the fulfillment of all of that promise. He saw just a drop in the bucket, but he was blessed because of it. And the reality is that we can be too today because of Abram's obedience in following the Lord. So God's purpose for relationships is not for you to be comfortable. It's to trust Him first and foremost, that your relationship with Him is solid. Because when your relationship with the Creator is solid, He will bring people into your life that are going to be a blessing to you, because relationships are exceedingly important. God's concerned with them, but primarily with yours with Him. Even in that, it's not about comfort. I'm just going to just hit some highlights of this story. Here they are. God appears in verse 7 of chapter 12. God appears to Abram, and once he's gone to the land, and he says, I'll give you this land to your descendants. Abram built an altar. And then if we look at verse 10, an interesting thing happens. It says, at that time, a severe famine struck the land of Canaan, forcing Abram to go down to Egypt, where he lived as a foreigner. So even though God called Abram not just into relationship, but into a promise where he'd be blessed, he was uncomfortable because the very place that God had for him, there was a famine there, and he was forced to leave. God's not concerned with your comfort. The next thing that happens, and just for expediency sake and time sake, I'm going to go ahead and just tell you the story. And here it is. So Abram goes to the place that God has for him. He gets there. God shows up. There's a theophany. God appears. And then Abram is living in the land where God showed up. He builds an altar, but then he has to leave because of famine. Then he's ultimately goes back when the famine's over. But now his nephew that came with him, Lot, there's a conflict between Abram and Lot because they've both gotten wealthy. God's blessing them. And the problem is all of their servants, all of their hired hands, all of their flocks, they're too tight. They're too close together. And there's arguments over the flocks and over watering. And so there's family drama. And so they split up. This can't be fun or comfortable. You ever been in the middle of family drama? It's not fun, and it's not comfortable. And then once Lot leaves, all of the surrounding cities and the kings over these cities see Abraham and see some of the other cities, and now there's a war, and Abram's caught in the crossfire. So Abram experienced following God in a deep relationship with God where he hears his voice, he walks in obedience, he sees God physically appear to him, and yet he experiences famine, he experiences family drama, he experiences war and fighting, and yet he stays the course, because the principle is that God isn't concerned with your comfort. He's concerned with you growing in a relationship with Him so that you can trust Him, and that translates practically into the relationships around you. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But the second principle that I want you to get is that God's plan for you is to embrace covenant relationship. What does that look like? What does that mean? So let's turn to Genesis chapter 15. And I'm just going to read verses starting with verse 1. It says, sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, don't be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great. But Abram replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all of your blessings when I don't even have a son? You've given me no children, so Eleazar of Damascus, a servant of my household, will inherit all my wealth. You've given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. Remember the promise that God made that his descendants would be blessed and the whole world would be blessed through him? And the Lord said to him, no, your servant won't be your heir. Then he says, and I'm skipping ahead, look up into the sky, count the stars. This is how many descendants you'll have. And then it says, and Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. And I want you to understand that God's heart for you in relationship begins with you in a healthy relationship where you believe what God says about who you are and the promises that He's written in this word and spoken to you. Believing. And in proving this, we see that God tells Abram, He says, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, a young pigeon. Then God tells him, he says, I want you to sacrifice them, cut them in half. And they cut them in half long ways. Now, this is a picture for you and for me, just as it was for Abram. So Abram sacrifices these animals. He cuts them in half, except for the birds. And then And then we see that God walks through these sacrifices. It says, after the sun went down and darkness fell on Abram, this is verse 17, he saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcass. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, I have given this land to you and to your descendants. Here's what that sacrifice meant. Like as Abram killed those animals and split them in half, and then he sees this smoking pot and this column of fire pass through them. It is God walking through the blood and the death of these animals. What is the symbolism for Abram and for us today? That this was a picture and a covenant that was made culturally at that time, where people who would make vows, promises to each other, stepping into a covenant relationship, they were saying, if I violate the terms of my covenant, this is what will happen to me. And God is saying, I promise. It is a promise from God that cannot be broken. What I said I will do if you trust me. Because it's two-sided. And here's the principle. It's not just that, hey, God's not concerned about your comfort, not primarily in a relationship. God's concerned about the covenant. That means that he's made promises to you. He wants you to trust, and he wants to be able to trust you in your relationship with him. Here's the third thing, that our call is primarily to faith and family. In that order. So here's the principles. God's not concerned. Biblical principles of how to have great relationships. Understand that God's not concerned with your comfort in relationship. That God's concern is for you to understand and embrace covenant relationships. That means that you will do what is right in that relationship. And the third thing, that your call is to faith and family, to believe God and believe the best about the people around you. So those are the principles that we can take away out of Genesis chapter 12, out of Genesis 15, the father of our faith who stepped into relationship with God, and I firmly believe is a picture for us understanding healthy relationships. Because here's the truth. Yes, I'll say it again, that the quality of your life is determined by the quality of your relationships. But if you're looking for simply comfort in your relationships, you're not going to have very deep relationships, and you won't have very long-lasting relationships. Because as a married man, as a father, I recognize that there are times of discomfort, that we have to do things and face things that we may not like, but if we do them with the biblical principle of understanding our covenant, our promise, our commitment is the foundation, and our call is to believe the best, that God has something for us, and we're going to believe that he put it in the people that we're walking in covenant relationship with. Those principles are the groundwork for healthy relationships. So let's talk practically. Let's some real practical things. How to practically have healthy relationships so that life can be good relationally. Here's the first one. It's really simple. Follow the call of God on your life. Follow the call of God on your life. He'll put people around you that are from him, that are divine covenant relationships. Your first understanding, and I pray this, your first understanding of covenant relationship is seen in we see in Abram and God, but I want that for you and God as well. And that you can know that God is good, that he loves you, that it doesn't mean that everything's going to be great. Abram experienced famine, family drama, fighting, war. He experienced a lot of difficulty and hardship. But he continued to follow the call of God on his life, and it laid the foundation for blessing. Do that in your relationships as well, and embrace the people that God brings into your life that you know are from him. They're godly, they love you, because here's the reality. You'll become like who you hang out with. So make sure that you are hanging out with people who love you and love the Lord, and not in that order. They love the Lord first, and they love you enough to be able to call you on your junk. It's a big deal. You know, if we look at Abram and we contrast him with his nephew Lot, I'm not going to get into that, but you can read in Genesis the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, and who you hang out with is so key. So get that. But follow the call of God on your life. Here's the second practical thing that you can do to have healthy relationships. Focus on the right foundation. What's that foundation? It's really selflessness and servitude. Selflessness. Like, it's not about you. It's not about you. You know, in Galatians 2:20, it's one of my favorite verses. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives through me. If you want healthy relationships, you have to recognize that it can't be about you. If we're following the example of Jesus, he laid down his life for people who spit on him and beat him. In fact, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was to the very soldiers that were abusing him. Focus on the right foundation, selflessness and servitude. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 28, it says, Jesus says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. That's servitude. That's laying down your life. Are you able to live selflessly? In other words, don't make the relationship about you. Are you able to live with a heart of servitude that you recognize that your role and responsibility in the relationship is to make sure that the other person is doing well? Listen, neither of these should ever mean that you are a doormat. When you know who you are and you have a deep covenantal relationship with Christ, and you recognize who he is and who you are because of him, you're not going to be a doormat. That you can be selfless and you can serve and you don't have to be manipulated or taken advantage of, but you are mature enough in your walk with the Lord that, like Jesus, you can recognize other people's wrongs in relationship, but they're not the things that motivate or move you in those relationships. What motivates and moves you is that because you are in a deep and abiding relationship with the Lord and becoming more like him, you are more like him to them than they are in the relationship with you. I hope this makes sense. That you can be selfless and you can serve. It doesn't mean that you are manipulated or taken advantage of or a doormat. Far from it. It means that you are mature and that your sense of well-being in the relationship does not have much to do with the health of the other person, because your identity, security, that your validation doesn't come from them. It comes from God. Focus on the right foundation. Follow the call. Focus on the right foundation. Here's the third thing practically. You have to fight for covenant relationship. It's a fight. Any covenant relationship is worth fighting for. If you read the story of Abram, it is a story of difficulty. It is a story of waiting. It is a story of him messing up many times. But he continued to fight for the relationship with the Lord. And the Lord is faithful in his promises. This is why I'm taking this all back to us following the Lord. And then living out of the overflow of that relationship and the relationships that we have. Listen, practical things are pretty simple. Don't make it about you. Believe the best about the other person. Communication's key. I mean, you can go read a myriad of really great books on how to have healthy relationships. I know in my marriage, you know, it was a fight for healthy relationship for a long time. I mean, I read some great books, you know, the Love Language book, you know, Love and Respect. I mean, there's some great books out there. But until you get the biblical principles down that God's concerned with your transformation so that you can follow in obedience, he's not so much concerned with your comfort. He's concerned with you understanding what healthy covenant relationship looks like. He's concerned with you walking in faith with him and faith in the other people that you're in relationship with. Like, those are key. Fight for covenant relationship. Psalm 68:6 says, God makes a home for the lonely. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. But he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Lots of people live in a sun-scorched land relationally. And it's not because that's God's plan for them. And if you look at the story of Abram, who ultimately becomes Abraham, you're going to see that he was in a sun-scorched land, even though he was in a deep, abiding covenant relationship with God, because he oftentimes did things his way. And when he did them his way, that's where he ended up in the place of pain. That's where he was at sun-scorched land. And that was never God's heart. But you can know this, that God sets, what does it say? God places the lonely in families. I want you to have healthy, deep relationship where there's fulfillment there. I want that for you. I want you to be in godly relationships. Dear Lord, this is why we're pushing small groups continually. Get in relationship with other people, but recognize that relationship with other people is messy because people are messy, but I'm telling you right now, it's worth it. And your responsibility to make the relationships in your life healthy so that you can say life is good relationally is contingent on you getting your stuff together, not pointing the finger at the other person and say, you get your stuff together. How do you do that? Follow the call of God on your life. Focus on the right foundation of selflessness and servitude, connecting with the Lord, hearing from Him, and then fighting for covenant relationship. Every healthy relationship is going to have conflict. How you handle it is going to determine whether or not that relationship becomes healthy or remains healthy or not. And it's all contingent on you. I say all. The other person has a responsibility on their end, but I'm speaking to you, and you have the responsibility on your end to trust God, to live a selfless life of servitude towards Him and other people, and to fight for covenant relationship. Doesn't mean that every relationship's going to make it, because other people have the freedom to walk away. And then other people may be very unhealthy. But I'm talking to you, and I pray that the Lord is as well. Maybe you're hearing your relationships are a mess. Let me tell you how you start the process of fixing that. You recognize that you can't do it alone. You need God and other people. And that begins with you surrendering to the will, the purpose of God through Jesus, and be willing to allow other people to help you grow as you help other people grow. I want to pray for you right now. Maybe God's moving on your heart and you need to refocus. Like you need you say, my life isn't good relationally, but I want it to be. Well, then it begins with you. Here's how it begins, with a sincere prayer of surrender first to the Lord, and secondly, to surrendering to what is best in those relationships that you are responsible for. So Father, we just pray right now. I just pray that if anybody's listening to my voice and the relationships are a mess, that they can hear your whisper to them right now saying, open up your heart to me. Trust me. And just as you spoke to Abram, Lord, I pray that you speak to them right now and you call them out of the place of comfort to follow you, Lord Jesus. And that you begin a renovation in their own heart that can overflow into the relationships they have, and you can mend their heart and establish healthy relationship with the people around them. So Father, I just pray that if that's somebody listening to me right now, you prick their heart and they respond to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And listen, if that was you, let us know what's going on. Click on the link in the chat beneath. Email us, Facebook messages. My heart for you is that you can say life is good because you are in a life-giving relationship with God and with other people. Love you guys. See you soon. Plug into a group. Deepen your walk with the Lord. God bless. Bye-bye.